This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This week, it's all about football's biggest stage.
E-L-G-F-E-S!
This is a Super Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Super Week with Isaac and Sue on 1080.
Let's go, Bird!
The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's going on, you...
Careful.
Goobers.
Where did you want to go with that?
Well,
you're not certain?
I don't know.
You just kind of midair and didn't stick the landing?
I don't know. Yeah, no, I don't know. I just called you goobers. That was the first thing that came to mind.
When was the last time you called someone a goober?
Lace them up, you little bitch. Let's go. 5 seconds ago.
Yeah. That's one of those things that I just, you don't really hear a goober.
That's a goober.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
I can't tell you the last time that I threw out goober. It's not really a...
That's a good go-to clean one. I like jabroni. I like calling people jabroni.
Yeah. I like nudnik. It's always one that I go... I think that's...
What is it?
The nudniks?
Nudnik?
What does that even
I don't know
mean?
That one.
That was a... I just think it means like you're like an idiot. That was like... It's like a Fonzarelli sort of thing.
Okay.
That was like a 1950s, you know.
Okay.
What's a jabroni?
Oh, it came from The Rock back from the wrestling days.
I know, but what is a jabroni?
Oh, it's just like
a jackass.
Like an idiot, a dunce, a jackass. Yeah, something like that.
A jabroni.
Yeah. You jabronis.
And then It's Always Sunny kind of, I mean, that was
a
Rock thing.
They kicked that around a lot.
They leaned hard into the jabroni thing as well. You know, I'm trying to think of like other clean ones that you can say on air. Most of mine you can't really say, you know.
Yeah, because you're a potty mouth.
Well, I mean,
you're going to hell.
Just in general, that's true. But it seems like a cooler place, to be honest with you. If you told me, like, by their definition, who's going where, I don't know. The other place sounds kind of cooler. Just saying. I think there's going to be cooler people hanging out with. Although you probably have to mix in with some, you know, some bad ones. It's an interesting mix of people. How about this? It's going to be more lively down there. Does that count for anything? Probably better.
How do you
parties?
Know that? You don't know that.
I don't know that.
You know that.
Does anyone know anything?
No.
It's like the best thing I ever heard was, I think it was Patton Oswalt that came up with this, and I use this all the time, the sky cake. Like
sky cake?
Yeah. We spent a lot of time worrying about sky cake as opposed to eating real cake. Like, you have cake here that you can't eat right now.
Yeah, but like, you're worried about...
You're worried about sky cake. And then when it's over, it's like, well, I'm going to get my sky cake. Well, you don't know that. You hope you're going to get your sky cake. I'm not saying you have to eat all the cake, but maybe nibble a little bit, you know? Try some different pastries as opposed to putting all your eggs in that whole sky cake basket. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I wonder what the beyond is like.
Oh.
Oh, you don't?
I don't. I have long held on to...
I was expecting an answer.
I wish I could tell you. Even back when I was trying to be a man of the Lord, that was one that I never could wrap my head around. I never could process that. I've yet to hear what I think is a good explanation for...
There isn't one. It's just faith. It's called faith.
Yeah,
it's
know, but...
faith for a reason.
Yeah, but like, again, we're
going to
get...
be taken care of.
We're going to get into a whole thing, but I always struggled with that. The idea of, like, again, do we have houses? Are there clouds? Or, you know, what is... what's
probably
happen-
cloud houses.
Yeah, cloud houses. I don't know. Like your perfected state? Oh. Do I get hair in my perfected state? Am I skinny? Do I get abs? What's happening here? You know, it's, I don't know. There's just a lot of things that a lot of strands to keep an old dude's head that I could never process. That was one of the things that I struggled with that I think eventually kind of led to my heathenism.
Well, I've always found it, as you know, I'm not a man of religion.
No.
I've always found it actually more what would be the word? Oh my God. I've like when you die.
Yeah.
Like nothing matters because you're dead.
Yeah.
So you just go, I mean, I don't know, put me in the ground.
Are you pulling us a kick?
Burn me. I mean, like,
yeah,
I just
do what you want.
It doesn't make me feel any better to think that there might be something out. Maybe there is something out there. I
hope there is, but if there's not, I won't know.
I don't know. I'm going to die. So it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not going to have thoughts. So what does it matter?
I don't know.
Maybe when we die, it's super surprising that it's like this, the beyond, like another plane, and it's wonderful. And we're all going to be surprised together because it's like, oh my God. Like I show up, like you die before me and you're already there.
Yeah.
And then I show up after I die and I don't know anything because, well, I'm dead. Yeah. And then I show up and there you are.
Hey.
Oh my God. Can you believe this? We talked about this on the show years ago, what this would be like. And look.
We're like fist bumping. We're like,
But
I'll get a glass of wine ready for you. I don't know.
But it's never made me feel better to have to believe that, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, bro?
Sure. Well, but I think a lot of people, they need something.
Yeah, I know. I get it. That's why religion is so popular and faith, and it's great. Whatever you need.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like when you die and you go in the ground.
Well, I will say that when I'm dead, you can do whatever you want with me.
Why? Because you're not alive.
Yeah.
What do you care? Yeah.
And I figured if there is something there, whatever happens to my body here has no bearing on that, right? I mean.
Right. It shouldn't.
It shouldn't. Because, like, that's not fair. Because,
what if everyone who is cremated, like, that. You've eliminated yourself from the afterlife.
Like, well, then what's happened? Like, if I die in a fire, then that's not my fault. It just happened. And then I got naturally cremated. That's not my, it's not my jam. I didn't ask for that. I would assume that there's some sort of contingency plan for that. None of it ever makes any sense to me. Nah. I tried for a while, and
there's
then eventually,
because
I was like, I was trying to do the, like, something to hold on to, something for, like, my kids, some sort of structure. And then, you know what, man, I was playing a bend but don't break defense, and now we just punted.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Whatever's good for you.
Kick it down the road, and you know what I'm doing? I'm hoping for that deathbed repentant sky cake. I'm hoping when I die, there's a nice buffet of pastries waiting for me.
You know the religious guy on this show is sitting right over there.
Yeah, Buckley's you're a church-going man,
right? Ryan Buckley is a God-fearing man.
I mean,
he's scared of God.
Mm, yeah.
Every decision he makes is with the idea of what would Jesus do.
Do you have a
bracelet?
You know. No, I did it when I was a youth group goer in like sixth grade or something.
I could see Buckley being a youth pastor.
It makes me sad.
Buckley wears like he's got the solid flannel and like the. I could see you mentoring some youth. I could see you youth ministering.
I coached baseball. Baseball.
Yeah, see? Yeah, didn't you do that like overseas?
I did.
See?
Yeah, you were over there hitting the ball for the Lord, right?
It had nothing to do with the church, no.
Oh. I thought you were administering, you know.
Have you ever built a house for the Lord?
I wasn't doing Tim Tebow circumcisions, no.
Have you built a house in the name of Jesus?
No.
No?
No.
Are you really a man of the Lord?
What does that even mean?
Well, like, you know, people go on, like, well, you've got the Mormon missions and stuff. But, like, when people, like, in high school, they would take you over to other countries and you would build
houses. For,
it was always with a religious
Yeah, I didn't, umbrella. I never did one of those trips.
God.
Sorry.
He's not a man
from
of
me.
Faith.
He is.
You're a heathen just like the rest of us.
Welcome to our side.
Yeah, welcome. Come on board.
Well, I mean, I align with you guys on a lot of things here. So,
but not this one.
Well, no.
Buck is casually drawing the line right here. He's like, you'll be burning in hell?
No. That's not what I think. But I am about the whole, like, I mean, whatever happens to your body afterwards, like, who gives a rip?
Until you give away all your organs and you get to the other side and you find out you're going to need those.
For what?
And guess what? That guy that you gave your kidney to may not be as willing to give it back.
And whether you believe it or not, it's anecdotal. My mom worked in oncology for 20 years and was at the bedside for a lot of people who were passing or close to passing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of different people who have gotten close and come back kind of have similar things to say. They see a bright white. They see a light that they're pulled towards with warmth. Like she's heard similar anecdotes from people at the bedside that there may be something there waiting for you.
And that's what I'm hoping for. That's where my sky cake
is. Is that what you think?
My sky cake.
What do you think?
I don't know.
What's out there, Buckley?
I don't know.
Isn't that exciting?
Sure.
What? We don't know.
Well, I think because we don't know, it just means we have to make the most of today.
Stop being fearful. Just it's exciting.
Live in the now.
Exciting.
Look at Rob embracing the darkness. Bring it on. Let's go.
You don't know what's out there. It may be wonderful. It may be nothing.
What is it? Everyone wants to go heaven. No one wants to go right now, though. Let's just push that off a bit and see what happens.
I don't want to die. No. But
I just,
you kind of want to see?
Yeah, we'll see what's out there. I mean, I don't think much, but.
Look, I just know that if I get to the other side and there's certain things that turned out to be true, ooh, I'm in trouble. I'll just tell you that right now. Like, if I get to the other side and, like, there's a Joseph Smith, like, waiting for me, I'm just going to be like, just send me this way. Like, I did that. There won't be any of that, like, defending your life sort of thing. I'm like, I did some things and just spare me. Just send me wherever you're going to send me, and we'll make do.
I just don't think it's going to be that judgy.
I hope not.
I mean, if you were the Bible says it won't be that judgy.
Yeah, actually, see the Bible. I'm out on that.
That says some awful, awful tough things.
No, it does say some awful tough things, but it also says you get a chance at. Repentance,
dude,
redemption.
Back in the day, man, dude, he got down. The big man would F you up. He was not messing around. He'd turn your ass to salt. There's a passage in there where some kids are making fun of
but everything, like, can be forgiven.
They're making fun of a holy man, and then the holy man sends a bear, and the bear mauls him to death for making fun of him. There's some stuff in there.
Some people still got an ass whooping coming.
There's bears on the other side?
I would hope so, right? And then, like, I get to, like, play with them, and I went to the Creation Museum in Kentucky, which I'm telling you, go to that thing. It's freaking nuts.
I will never be in Kentucky.
If you are, go.
Ever.
Dude, it is.
Never been, never will be.
That thing is bananas.
At least I don't think.
And I got future plans to go to the Kentucky Derby with one of my best friends.
There you go, might.
And then do the Kentucky Bourbon Trail as well.
Yeah, might.
Yeah, see?
You're right.
You would do that. I would absolutely do that. And I've heard that, like, Louisville Slugger has an awesome museum there as well. So
I'm telling
you. You can get into some good times in Kentucky, I think.
Dude, they got people and dinosaurs cruising around together. Like,
I've heard it. Yeah, you have told about this.
It's the thing. I'm telling you. It's way more entertaining and interesting if you are a non-believer than if you are. Just go. I don't remember what the price of admission was, but go. And now they built an ark. When I was there, there was no ark. Now they've actually built one of those. I may go back just to see that thing again. It's an entertainment level that can't be topped. Think like medieval times, but on a much grander scale.
I do want to go to the Kentucky Derby. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Wear a big hat.
Yeah, wear a big hat and
nice suit.
Campbell. Have a mint julep.
Yeah, or two.
Yeah, I like a mint julep.
Well, I've heard the infield party is like the greatest thing in the world.
It's very NASCAR. Would you do that, or would you try to do the, like, spend a little extra and get some good?
I'd like to. I'd like to dabble in both if I could. Because like we
can
went,
you?
I don't know if you can.
I don't know if you can. I think
really.
Well, I don't know this, but I think that if you buy infield, and some of our listeners have been there, they can text and correct us, but I think if you buy infield, is that what it's called, infield?
Yeah.
That's, you have to stay out.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, you're out there.
Oh.
It's all out there.
Because, like, when you go to the Indy 500, I thought it was kind of like that. So the Indy 500
maybe it is.
The Indy 500 is kick-ass because the middle of it is just a rager. It is a full-go, like, foam party, as crazy as you want, and you can dabble in that. But you don't want to be there, at least for me, I didn't want to be there the whole time. And then you head up to your seat and, you know, you kind of. So I would like to dabble in both if I could. I would at least want to see what the infield's like, but I don't think I'd want to watch the race from down there. So I don't know why you couldn't. Well, like maybe you'd have to buy two tickets.
Yeah, I think the reason you couldn't go somewhere else is you wouldn't have a ticket to be there. You know, like, because those are seats.
But what if you, if I just bought two tickets and then I just
left?
Oh,
you buy both?
Yeah, you buy both. Like, if I was going.
Well,
like,
all right, rich guy.
Well, I mean, if you're going to the Kentucky Derby and I'm only going to go one time, I don't think I would go back. You got to, I think I would rather swinge big and.
Yeah, I'd rather get it like, hitch my wagon to Jason Worth.
Yeah.
Try to get in his suite.
Something like that there. Know? Yeah. It'd be fun. Yeah, that's always that's on the bucket list. Like the I've always wanted to do like the Daytona 500, Kentucky Derby, Indy 500, something like that. Those big races. I've been to like Daytona International Motor Speedway, but I've never been there for the Daytona 500 or maybe the Talladega. You know.
Yeah, we went to Talladega. Talladega was a good time, but yeah. I've heard that the Talladega infield and the Kentucky Derby infield not all that different.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the it's.
You get the trashy crowd, and that's fine.
The Indy, I've never seen anything quite like the infield party at the Indy 500 because no one's there for the race. It's like a rave. There's like a stage, and there's like got like EDM music going on. And like I said, it was a foam party, and dude, it was just it was crazy. I mean, it was full on like spring break. A lot of if you like big Midwestern gals not wearing much, let me tell you.
He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hugs.
And they are greased up and ready to go. And a lot of America, a lot of American flags being used in creative ways. How about
flags?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well.
Like as garments?
Yes.
Bikinis, thongs and such?
Yes. Just. And by the way, not all the American flag thongs on girls. No, no, no. Lots of dudes out there are dropping that too.
For those patriots out there, isn't that unpatriotic to desecrate the flag?
I beg to differ. Those people, they love it.
What do you think it costs to experience the Kentucky Derby like primo top of the
line? You're probably 15, 20 grand, I'm guessing.
For one?
Yeah, if you want like top shelf where you're getting the VIVI. And by the way, that may be one where you can't even buy your way in. You have to know people and then buy your way in. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing that's a serious price tag to get into one of those big boxes.
I told you that, I used to have a buddy. His name's Jake. I've talked about him before. He used to be a ticket broker.
Yeah.
So he would get all these high-end tickets for all these rich people. And he said, so I told him, I humble bragged to him that I lucked into Berkman's passes at the Masters.
Yeah.
And he said, oh my God, how did you do that? And I can't.
Like you can't even get
I'm
it,
like,
right?
I'd have to kill you if I tell you.
Yeah.
But he said, and that experience is the best experience in all of sports. It's got to be.
Yeah.
And he said, the only thing that rivals that is Kentucky Derby.
So I just went on here to Kentucky Derby, and if you would like to try to get one of those, you have to call their premier concierge. And there's a PSL license that comes along with any of that.
I'm seeing there's a website that puts together bucket list events like that, and it says Kentucky Derby packages starting at $6,200.
Yeah. So
it's probably 15.
Yeah, 15 to really do it right.
Do it right.
Yeah. And that's a boy.
I'm in. You in?
That's a little out of my.
Yeah. Gambling, drinking, horses, sure. Yeah.
That might be a little out of my
reach.
We'll
win the money back on the race.
Oh, there you go. So basically the trip's free at that point, right?
I mean, pays for itself.
Yeah.
If everything goes to plan.
God, that would be so fun.
Yeah, this guy says, 15 grand for a couple to go with a package deal through a guy you know that gives you paddock passes and all the things.
Yeah, 15 G's.
15,
okay.
But 15 for two, that's not.
So at Berkman's,
that's a lot.
At the Masters, you can't buy those. Like,
no.
You have to. Somebody has to give you one. But I think that if the corporation buys them, well, like the individual can't buy them. But a corporation, like if you're a sponsor or whatever, they give them to. I think their value, they said, is like 10 grand each.
Yeah.
So it's.
It kind of plays out,
it's
right?
Commensurate.
Yeah.
As it were.
Yeah, that experience you got to have at the Masters, that's an all-timer.
Like, it's unbelievable.
You'll never have another thing like that.
Peyton Manning was the greeter.
That blows my mind.
Peyton freaking Manning.
Yeah, not. He was hosting. He wasn't there mingling. He was in charge.
He was greeting.
You went to a Walmart and Peyton Manning was there like, hey, come on in. Yeah, that blows my mind.
Yeah, in his green jacket.
Yeah, you'll never have another thing like that. That's a once-in-a-lifetimer.
Unbelievable back there.
So cool.
All right, guys. Are you ready to sport?
Yeah, why not? I mean, we've conquered death. We've conquered the Kentucky Derby. We've conquered butter hogs and American flag Speedos. Why not? Let's do it.
I think we start with some Super Bowl talk, don't you think?
One more sleep, right? Wait.
Two.
Two more sleeps. Sorry.
You have the game tomorrow, too.
Yeah,
it should be tomorrow.
I want it to be tomorrow.
It should be.
Yeah.
Oh, it has to be on a Sunday.
Well, I pre-gamed a little hard last night for some unknown reason, so, you know.
Let's roll it right into the weekend.
Yeah, I'm trying to get some momentum going, and we're just going to roll through.
All right, well, we'll talk about the Super Bowl. I got Super Bowl Num Num continues next on The Fan. I just got an overwhelming feeling about missing David Bowie.
Oh. Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Listening to Let's
that
Dance.
Hit you?
Yeah, it did. Does that ever do that? Do you ever do that?
I was listening to one of my favorite movies. It's a sneaky top 10-ish movie for me, is The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Have you seen it?
Haven't seen it.
I don't know.
Love it. One of just...
I don't know.
If you want a movie to feel good and you want to sit down for an hour and 45 minutes and just smile, watch The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. It's Ben Stiller. He directed it and he stars in it. And there is a... The Space Oddity, it plays a big role in that. And I was watching that just the other day. And that it's funny you mentioned that, because that kind of hit me. I was sitting there and I was like, I'll be damned. That kind of, I kind of forgot.
He's out of sight, out of mind. Like, he died a long time. And it just, that dude was greatness.
Yes. It's just funny that you mentioned that. Literally, that was like a week ago, maybe 10 days, that I was sitting on my couch and I was listening to that in the movie. And it dawned on me. I was like, oh, man, David Bowie.
It'd be like the time when I'm long dead and, I don't know, you hear this.
How do you find a male hooker?
Yeah. And you go, God, I miss that old son of a bitch.
And I've said this a million times, and people laugh, but it's true. There is one thing that makes me think of you there is a song that every time I hear it, I immediately think of you.
Rob, 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 rob.
Zig, right. I can't hear that Lady Gaga song without breaking it.
Gaga.
To the Isaac Rop version of it.
She wrote about me.
Yeah. You could be dead and gone for years, and that song could come on the radio, and I would instantly.
That's my legacy.
Rob, 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 rob. Isaac, rob, rob, rob.
Did you know that there is a player who has won 3 straight Super Bowls? Did you know that?
That has won 3 straight. So 2 with the Chiefs, and then he would have been with the Bucks.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, you said he won 3 straight Super Bowls, right? And
doesn't have to be those.
Doesn't have to be this one. He just won 3. Charles Haley, maybe?
No, that's a good guess. You're on the right track.
Dion, maybe?
Cowboys and 49ers in the 90s.
Dion?
Nope. Another
Ken
guy.
Ken Norton.
There you go. Ken Norton Sr.
I was like someone. It's Ken Norton Jr.
Oh, that's Junior.
Yeah, Ken Norton Sr. was the
fisticuffs
guy.
Boxer.
Yeah, broke Muhammad Ali's jaw.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it had to be one of the, once you said it's all, all the time, I was like, those Cowboys and Niners, I know, traded some players back and forth.
Kind of hard to believe that we haven't had a three-peat, in my opinion.
Well, it's just so hard. We talk about it all the time, and like, and I'm taking nothing away from Kansas City. I'll take nothing away from like New England, those teams, but like, this is why I hate legacy defining conversations. Like, it's, oh, well, you won this or you lost it, and therefore we make these sweeping judgments. Like, think of how many Super Bowls Tom Brady won that were on the foot of Vinatieri or Gostkowski, right? If any of those kicks and that has nothing to do with Tom Brady, right? Scott Norwood pushes it wide right, and forever Jim Kelly is a loser and can't win a Super Bowl. Well, Tom Brady had kickers that make him. Who is David Tyree, right? David Tyree doesn't come down with the... And that guy was not a good receiver. He just wasn't. That dude was the definition of...
He's just a guy.
He's just a guy. But he made arguably the greatest catch in Super Bowl history, and that took out the greatest season we've ever seen. That would have gone down. If he doesn't make that catch, or Rodney Harrison just pulls that ball... I still can't believe that Rodney Harrison didn't knock that thing away. And now we're talking about Tom Brady and that New England team being the greatest team of all time. It's no longer the 72 Dolphins, but we're not. Now we're talking about Eli Manning, who one day will get in the Hall of Fame based on that. And look at Mahomes' Super Bowls. You know, if Jimmy Garoppolo throws the ball, I don't know, what, 2 feet shorter, then...
Niners are Super Bowl champions.
The Niners are Super Bowl champs.
You think Jimmy G's still there?
Where?
San Francisco.
Oh, if he had won that, yeah. No, because that was the first Super Bowl.
Yeah, they probably,
that was back in 2020. I still don't think he's there 5 years later.
You know, there's just, and you go back to any of the Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, two Super Bowls ago, was the best player on that field. And he that guy does not turn the ball over. You can fault him for a lot of things, but he does not turn the ball over. Scoop and score. And that doesn't happen. The phantom. I mean, if you want to talk about the ref thing, go and look at the pass interference call in the end zone that Kansas City got on Philadelphia. It's one of the worst calls you'll see in Super Bowl history. Those two plays go the other way, and maybe Mahomes doesn't have either one of those Super Bowls. And neither one of those things had anything to do with Patrick Mahomes. You know, and so it's just... So the idea that that's the one thing that gives me pause about this, right? Kansas City has had every single thing these last few Super Bowls just go their way. And the law of averages would say that eventually the weird shaped football is going to bounce the wrong way. It's just, it's so hard to have everyone healthy, everyone clicking on the right page and get all those weird, funky bounces that go your way. Just, you would think that they're due to have a run of bad luck in a game, and every one of these games has been close.
I was talking to Joey about this. You were at the auto auction, so you weren't there.
Yeah.
And I was asking him about this, about turnovers and like, you know, just variance. You're bringing up variance.
Yeah.
Any one game, and you're right, this is why nobody's won three in a row, is because when you, even if you get to three in a row, like the Bills did, there's so much variance in any one game that you just, you're never going to get all the breaks and play that well three games in a row, 3 years in a row to win three in a row. Yeah. Okay.
Really?
There's just so much variance in any one game. Okay. Well, what I was peppering Harrington about was, what is it? Because he, you know, played quarterback. I won
at a very high level.
I thought maybe, you know, he would. I didn't like his answer because it. But I believe him and I trust him. Mm-hmm. But I was asking him, like, why is it that, you know, teams like the Bills this year, for example, who had, I think, the best turnover margin in football, or the Chiefs just generally with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, what do they do to not turn it over? Like, they just are really good, and the Eagles are the same way.
Yeah.
What do they do that Lamar Jackson doesn't? You know, that teams that turn it over, like Washington turned over 5 times in the game against the Eagles. So is there something to preventing turnovers? Because you're right, it is just the bounce of a ball or, you know, the tip of a pass. He said there's nothing to that. And that was a very unsatisfactory answer for me, because it just seems like there are guys and teams who are really freaking good at it.
That have a better knack than others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I trust, like I said, I trust him, and he played. It's total variance.
Oh.
All that to tell you, do you know what the Eagles' turnover margin is in the last 6 games that they've played?
I'll bet you it's just out of sight. Because I think Hurts has like 1 or 2 turnovers all year.
In the Eagles' last 6 games, their turnover margin is 20-2.
Yeah.
Let's go, Birds!
And you wonder why they're here.
Well, that's exactly part of the reason why they're here.
They don't turn it over.
But, okay, well, but see, by Joey's logic, that will mean nothing for the next game, right?
Well,
but to me, it means something.
Sure. Well, I'll say this. Certainly, if you're a turnover-prone team, like, then that's, you know, that's a
well. Okay, well, that's what I was asking him. What is turnover-prone? What does that mean? What are you doing? Are you taking more risks?
Yeah. So I would say, if you're a turnover-prone team, right, you have a quarterback that makes risky throws. You have a quarterback that throws late over the middle. That's bad decision making.
Right.
Fumbles. You know, you're probably not. You probably don't have very good ball security. That's attention to detail. But what's weird is when you do have a team that doesn't turn the ball over, and then all of a sudden you have 2 in 1 game.
Right.
And that can be variance. That can be a slick ball. That can be whatever. Someone just has the right, you know, punches the ball out.
Well,
and all of a sudden you don't turn the ball over all year. You turn it over twice and thanks for coming. Go back to the Jalen Hurts scoop and score of their first Super Bowl.
That could also mean that the defense that you are playing has warmed you up.
Yes, absolutely.
So I use the Josh Allen example, and this is why I'm worried about Jalen Hurts in this game, is that Josh Allen, in 10 weeks, I think I said this the other day, in 10 weeks prior to their game against Kansas City, Josh Allen had two turnover-worthy plays.
Yeah.
So this is a stat that they use now. It's not just turnovers. It's did you put the ball in harm's way? You may have gotten it back, or you may have gotten lucky. It wasn't picked off, or a guy dropped an interception, whatever it is. That is a turnover-worthy play. Mm-hmm. You put the ball in harm's way. He had had two of them in 10 weeks. He had three of them against Kansas City.
Yep.
And a lot of that was Kansas City's pass rush. That's what they do. So that's what scares me about Jalen Hurts here.
And what scares me with Jalen Hurts, too, is he gets sacked a lot because he holds on to the ball.
So
against the Rams, he had I wanted to look it up because I knew it was a bunch. They had seven sacks against them in the Rams. And there were, I'm going to say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, including the playoffs. There's been five times this year where they have given up five or more sacks. And when you give up those sorts of hits on your quarterback, that's an opportunity.
Exactly.
Right? Every one of those guys is how you change the
20-2 turnover ratio, yes. Turnover margin, yeah. Right there. Yeah. The last two meetings that these two teams have played, the Eagles and Chiefs, one of them being the Super Bowl, Hurts has been sacked seven times. Yeah. Do you know how many times Mahomes has been sacked?
Not seven times.
Once.
Yeah.
So that's it right there to me. There's your ball game.
It's a huge difference. Jalen Hurts has to be the Jalen Hurts from 2 years ago.
Well, and Kansas City is really good. I'm going against Joey, but they're really good. They're just disciplined. They don't turn it over. Yep. Now Mahomes, to Joey's point, Mahomes had one of those. I don't think they recovered. I think Buffalo did. Remember
Buffalo did.
Just that ball that...
I think they were trying
to do... It was a total.
They were trying to do either an RPO or a fly sweep or whatever, and the mesh point didn't work, and he dropped the ball.
No,
the
there was another one. They didn't... They fell on it, but it was like... The ball just came squirting out of the pocket, and it went way, like 10, 15 yards back, and I think one of the offensive linemen fell on it. But
they turned it over on that mesh point on one of those. They had a fumble.
I remember that. That was him, like, not tucking. I don't remember. Yeah. I know of what you speak. They had the one turnover, but they also had one that was total, just a hand hit
and the other
Mahomes
wrong. And they were able to recover
it. And they recovered it, which is total luck.
Yes.
But I just think that the Chiefs, I just can't be convinced they don't have a knack for winning the turnover margin.
Good teams usually do.
But the Eagles do, too. Yeah. So that's why this is a great matchup. We'll talk more about the Super Bowl. Did you know that the Super Bowl is on Sunday?
The super big game.
It is the Eagles and the Chiefs, and we'll do that next. Here's Buck.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, if you had someone dying in your Super Bowl in New Orleans, it's going to be Wild Pool.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
We'll get to that story next.
Dude, this is scary stuff.
But, yeah.
Not a player, by the way. Like, just...
Oh, yeah, not a player.
No, no. That,
no.
Because we've had...
But a reporter?
Yeah, a reporter, because the two big ones we've ever had, we had Eugene Robinson, NFL Man of the Year, got busted with a hooker.
Yeah.
Before a Super Bowl he was going to play in.
Yes.
Yep.
Richie Incognito, who was the, I believe, first or second team All-Pro center for the Raiders. He just...
No, that was Barrett Robbins.
Or Barrett Robbins. I'm sorry, not Richie Incognito. Yeah, Barrett Robbins, who went to Mexico and never came back. That happened.
Is he still with us, Barrett Robbins?
I think he might have passed.
No. He may have. I think he got shot. Like, I think he charged some cops, and I think he might have died via cop.
Still with us.
Still with us.
51.
So he got shot a bunch of times. He survived that? I'm almost certain.
Well,
that
he's not dead.
That the cops had to shoot him multiple times. Yeah, he like growled at him and like charged the cops. So we had that, and then we, I forget the player's name, but we figured out we had Carl Mecklenburger on once, who said in one of the Broncos blowouts, one of their starting safeties got absolute rip house drunk and was on drugs during the game. And got burned for like 3 touchdowns in the first half. Said it cost him the Super Bowl.
There was a dude on the, was it the Bengals who was like in a stupor the night before in his bathtub before they got blown out by the Niners? Or like lost to the Niners?
It happens.
Yeah. Yeah, Barrett Robbins critical after struggle with police. Former Pro Bowl center Barrett Robbins was shot and critically wounded by, I don't mean to laugh. But yeah, they found...
what are you laughing at?
Well, they found him at like an office building. I think he was like naked.
He
got like in a 3-point stance and like... Argh!
Well, he's had a lot of things. He's bipolar.
Yeah.
And he's got some problems.
Yes.
But he's still with us.
Still with us. So that's good that he, you know, he's all right. Hopefully he's doing better.
There's been a big line move.
Has there?
There has.
Well, I'm assuming everyone and their grandmother that I've talked to is on the Chiefs.
Wrong.
Wrong. So now we're going back the other way. We're getting some action on the birds?
I'm not talking about the main line.
Oh.
So the main line, I do believe that the public is betting Philly, but this is a pretty well split affair, Chiefs and Eagles. But there has been a little bit of line movement towards the Eagles in the last day or so, but nothing significant. I mean, the line really hasn't changed much at all.
It's not a significant line either way. I mean, most people think this is going to be a close game.
It's like pick the winner.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm talking about the Gatorade color.
Oh.
Because at Bet Online.
Yeah, I did see that line move.
The yellow, green, lime Gatorade, which is one bet. That's all three of those. One. That's one. Was plus 180.
It is a solid flavor, by the way.
It is now minus 240.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Someone knows something.
That's right.
I did see that the training staff do try to keep this stuff kind of close to the vest.
Don't they have
thought there were just multiple colors on every sideline. So like how could it be you just have one that's reserved for the dump? Like,
no, whichever one they dump on the... Yeah, I mean, they could pick... Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I don't understand why there would be... Unless all of the Gatorade on the sideline were just one color.
Now, I am old and I don't always remember. I mean, but it usually is one...
The whole team just has one on the sideline?
Experience, like, it's made in batches, right?
Yeah, so I knew that, but I thought that there was just a batch of yellow, a batch of orange, a batch of...
I don't think so.
No?
I think for the most part, if I remember correctly, like, I think we always just had one color. We just had one flavor, and they would just make big batches, because it's huge batches.
Well, yeah.
So
I just thought they had their choice, essentially.
I've never once picked a flavor. Like, you just get handed
grab a cup and go. Yeah.
you get handed a bottle, or the, it's usually just the trainers come around and the trainers have bottles and there's water and there's Gatorade. And I don't really think that there's multiple, but I could be. I mean, this is so long ago.
You played in the olden days.
I did play in the olden days.
According to Will Ortner.
Well, it's true. I mean, there's a lot of things that when I look at the way it's done now versus when I was there, I'm like, I don't know. It's how it used to be, but I'm sure we've evolved past that. Now some teams have like individual water bottles for players.
Well, anyway, I don't know. I don't know how they, somebody had a tip from on something.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have moved. I mean, that's a big move.
Yeah.
I saw the Anthem line, the Anthem over-under.
Who's doing the Anthem?
I don't even remember. I just saw that the time for it, the under got bet heavy, and then they temporarily took it off the board, so somebody was around for sound check and sounded like it went short. Mm-hmm. And additionally, I think because they did the sound check, they did the run-through for Kendrick Lamar's halftime deal because a bunch of odds on what songs he was going to sing from the album also got taken off the board.
Yeah, because that is stuff that you would
You could have an edge on, for sure.
I mean, all that's... And
somebody
knows. Well, none of that stuff's live. It's all pre-recorded.
Right.
I've had a buddy that's done a couple of those and been involved. And
but you could still be rehearsing that,
yes.
Those
well,
things.
But all that stuff has been recorded. So you,
right.
Like, if you are in the know, you could leak that information and have what songs, what order, all that stuff.
Or you could just take it to the bank and get rich yourself.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
They don't let you bet a lot.
Yeah, you'd have to bet
low
a little
limits.
Bit. And if there is a big bet, they'll shut it down or they won't take your bet. If you're going in there and you're betting 50 G's on something, they know, like, all right, well, you know... that's not going to be allowed. I did read the other day, and I don't know why, but I read like an entire article on the history of the Gatorade dump bath thing. And
Where did that start?
Well, there's two people that claim. So the Bears claim it and the Giants claim it, but the Giants actually have the legitimate claim to it. So the official story is Jim Burt. You remember the defensive lineman for the Giants?
I remember Jim Burt.
So I guess Bill Parcells, after practice, was unhappy with the Giants going into the playoffs. So he made Jim Burt stay after practice and like punch a wall with dumbbells in his hands for like 45 minutes as punishment for like having a crappy practice.
Good grief.
Yeah. And Jim Burt was so pissed about it. And I guess it was more of one of those, Bill Parcells was using Jim Burt as an example because Burt was like one of the team leaders. And it was like, hey, you know, no one's above this. And I guess Burt told him afterwards, he's like, hey, Bill, just so you know, I'm going to get your ass back for this, because he knew what he was doing. And so it was Burt's idea to then dump the Gatorade on Bill Parcells is an FU for the for that. And then Harry Carson, and that wasn't the Super Bowl. That was like, I think that was after a playoff game or the end of the regular season. And then it was Harry Carson, the linebacker, that did the security jacket. Remember, he put on the security jacket and snuck up behind Bill Parcells. And that's the one that really started kicking it off. And then it became a tradition. And that jacket and the bucket that Harry Carson dumped on Parcells is in the Hall of Fame.
How about that?
And then Dan Hampton and Steve McMichael tried to claim that they did it first on Mike Ditka, but the Giants did it first.
Okay. So Bill Parcells.
Bill Parcells and Jim Burt were the very first ones to participate, and
but
then Harry
Parcells
Carson took
got
it
the first Gatorade bath twice, like,
yes,
in two different occasions.
Two different occasions by two Giants, and that started the whole thing. And then, and they talked about some of the coaches were real, like Brian Billick was a real ass about it. He threatened to fire people. If they allowed the Gatorade to be dumped on him, like he was really angry about it. Sean McVay wasn't happy. Like some coaches are really against it.
Just think what they do with the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
They dump mayo on the winning coach of the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Really? Like
a
whole Gatorade tub of it?
Big tub.
It's a big thing beforehand. Awesome. This year they brought out like some celebrity to help with it.
Yeah.
It
wouldn't even be mad about that.
The Cheez-It Bowl they do with a big thing of Cheez-Its.
The famous Idaho Potato Bowl, they do French fries.
Yeah. All started with the great Jim Burt and Bill Parcells.
All right. We will wrap up Super Bowl Num Num next. Would you like to know? Would you like to know something?
What? Yeah, I like to know things. It's a drop.
It is a drop.
I like to know things. Love to know things.
Where's that drop?
I'd like to know where the drop is.
I'd like to know if we can get off the air.
I know. Hold on. I'm trying to... Where's that drop?
Oh.
I can't find it. Would you like to know how teams fare in the Super Bowl when they score 40 or more in the conference championship?
Yes, I would like to know.
Because I have that number.
Well, my.
That'll be next on The Fan.
That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
All right, a couple of Super Bowl items left here. If you had someone dying in your Super Bowl in New Orleans, it's going to be wild pool.
Yeah.
You deserve a congratulations.
Bad stuff.
But, yeah, teams who score. So the Eagles scored what? My God, what did they score? 55 in the NFC Championship?
I believe
game?
That I think is that's the right. Case. Yeah. 55, 20.
55, 31?
55, yeah, I think that's right. Teams who score 40 or more in the conference championship, it's been done 10 times.
55-23.
How do you think they did in the super big game?
How many times?
10.
What?
I'm going to say this is going to be weird because it's going to go the other way. I'm going to go 3-7.
That's exactly right.
Hey, look at that.
Look at the big sports brain on you. They are 3-7. How about that?
That's just a weird...
It's an oddity.
Probably I would have said it was a lot higher, but the fact that you were bringing
like
it up,
that?
I was like,
yeah, you like that?
Tilted the other
well,
way.
Well, I mean, when you score 40 or more, maybe it's just kind of fluky.
It's possible. Or maybe the competition, you know.
Because that game was kind of fluky.
Yeah. Well, it's all the turnovers. I mean, they five turned over, turnovers. What, 5 turnovers?
Yeah.
Because that game was not... that was not a blowout for 2.5 quarters of that game. It was really the... I'm trying to remember. It was the... who's their back? Eckler. It was his fumble that like kind of broke the back, and then the floodgates opened up. But that was a somewhat of a close game. The other one too is with Philly. Like, not to take anything away from the Commanders, but look, Philly's path to get through the Commanders was a little bit different than getting through the Bills for the Chiefs. And that's the one thing. There's a million things to say, but the Chiefs' path here and their schedule and the teams that they've played versus Philadelphia, it's night and day difference. If you look at the schedule strength and you look at like the offenses that Philly's defense had to play, I mean, this is obviously a step up for everybody, but Kansas City is more battle tested than Philadelphia is. So some people think that some of those Philly defensive numbers, and I think this Philly defense is great. I'm taking nothing away from them. It is somewhat inflated though, their numbers, because of some of the piss poor quarterbacks that they played.
Let's not forget, too, Philly is losing their offensive coordinator.
That honestly scares the living daylights out of me that Kellen Moore is negotiating a deal, and he's going, as soon as this is over, he's the head coach in New Orleans.
Yeah, so he's putting a staff together.
I hate that.
You might just stay.
no.
Yeah, I just wonder how much that, I mean, you know, you can't really...
I do not like any of these where, and I feel this way in college when guys are looking for other jobs, and this, you can't tell me that you have your entire attention on one thing when you have one foot out the door. Well, you can't.
I think you kind of have to. I mean, it's not that, because, you know, you're not working 24/7 on the Super Bowl.
No. Well, you kind of.
I know, but you know what I mean. Yeah, like there are times when you can peel off and go make some phone calls and recruit some coaches, but. I don't know. I don't know how big of a deal that is.
I just, the immortal words of Ron Swanson, dude, never half-ass two things, whole-ass one thing. And, and like, when you get to this point, I was listening to Tom Brady today, and he was talking.
The great Tom Brady.
Where
is he? You just never hear from him.
He's on with the herd today.
He's like
today.
Everywhere.
I know. And I'm telling you, man, his face is getting.
Is the herd back in the saddle?
Yeah, he's done, you know, whatever. He was praying to the porcelain gods, but he's back.
Good.
And Brady is so close to going full middle-aged lesbian. I mean,
he's on TV now.
He's got to stop.
Got to look good.
You got to stop, Tommy. The fillers and the face, like whatever you're doing to the face, lighten up, man. Let a wrinkle work in. Look at Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman looks great, and he doesn't look... There's not weird things going on with his face. Anywho, Brady was talking about the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, and he talked about how truly obsessed he was. When you have 2 weeks to prepare, he was talking about playing that Kansas City team, and he goes, I knew their defense better than they did. And he goes, that was my superpower, was that sort of preparation. And, I mean, he just went on and on about that's all that matters. And he was saying, dude, guys like Patrick Mahomes understand that. It is that uncommon sort of preparation. And when you're talking about at this level, little things, like you mentioned the variance, right? And why some teams are better at it than others. And I do think a lot of it comes down to that sort of preparation. And I think you have Andy Reid all time with extra time to prepare. He's like 36-4, something like that, 36-5. The number's stupid. And then you look at Mahomes and his level of prep that Tom Brady says, Mahomes preps the way he did, the way Manning did. He said it is his superpower, and then he's more athletic than those guys. And then also Spags. Spags is at this point, arguably the best big game defensive coordinator, and that comes through this sort of just ungodly study. And so I do think it matters that Kellen Moore, whatever you think of how much time you need to spend for this, I know those guys on the other side are putting in ungodly hours about one thing, and I do think it matters that Kellen Moore, for better or worse, is not 100%. Maybe he's 99%. And you say, well, what's 1%? 1% is Spags coming up with one play. 1% is Kansas City coming up with one check. P. Ryan on third down with a man beater against the Bills to end that thing. Spags against the Niners last year with his blitz package. Spags on third down against the fourth down against the Bills, bringing that pressure. That's the sort of thing. And I just think teams that are obsessed about it, and that's Kansas City, I think that, to answer your question from the, you know, the previous segment, you know, how do you, why are some teams better than others at seemingly the variance things? I think it's that. I think it's just right. Those teams are so damn prepared, and I do not like that you have a coordinator ready to take another job.
We have a dead in New Orleans, and we'll get to some local things. We've got a couple of local things here. The Blazers won again last night.
Yeah, they can't be beat.
I don't know if you know that. I didn't even know they were playing. But
no, I was watching it at a bar.
Apparently they did. And they won again.
It was a close game.
And where does Dan Lanning now rank among the best coaches in college football? That's next on The Fan.
You know what? I'm going to cook on your grill.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.